The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
Everything you need to know about everyday consumer affairs. Brought to you by iGlobal.
Well, hello and welcome to the iGlobal broadcast. And what we're doing is talking to a host of people, inviting them to talk to us right here on this platform today. So what are we doing today? We're talking to a rather well-learned gentleman who represents and also has a company called Prefinium, which is a private equity house providing intelligent access to worldwide growth economies, primarily India, Central Eastern Europe, and also the United States of America. He joins us today. His name is Alpesh Patel, and we're very proud and privileged to have him with us today on the iMoney podcast for iGlobal here today. Alpesh, welcome.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks very much. Thanks for the great intro.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, it's been a long time coming. We've been wanting to catch up with each other for a long, long time. And I know that you're the expert when it comes to making money.
Do you know, I just bought a URL, which instead of money saving expert,
yes,
it's money, no, it's not money making expert, it's something like, I've forgotten the name already of the URL, it's something like money investing expert. Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, let's see how it goes anyway. So, Alpesh, you are an investment advisor and also look after hedge funds as well. We'll go into a little bit more detail about that. But first of all, more importantly, may I take this opportunity to congratulate you on receiving a very special award, and that is an OBE for services to the economy and trade. Tell us a little bit about that. You can give us some background.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was actually during a Zoom call like this that on my computer screen an email popped up from the Cabinet Office, because they, during COVID, they didn't send letters, which they normally would do. And I was talking, just as I am now. I saw this email and I thought, and I kept talking and I thought, hang on. And I didn't let the other people know what happened, because you're not supposed to tell anyone.
Sure.
And the background to it is, so about 15 years ago, the government asked me to continue doing the business I do, but also help them find outstanding technology companies from the world to bring to the United Kingdom. And the reason I came across their radar is I'd won a competition in the Financial Times to pick companies, and I'd won a competition in Bloomberg and on Channel 4. So they said, look, it's all very well doing it for yourself. How about doing it for your country? And I said, no. I want to do it for myself. Thank you very much. I've done enough for my country. No. They were very persuasive, as the government can be. And I thought to myself, you know, no, I should continue doing it. Because for several years before that, I'd done a lot of public service. And I thought, no, yeah. I've got to get my business off the ground and help it grow. So they approached me within a month of me setting up the hedge fund and the private equity fund. And I thought, no, wrong timing. Anyway.
So it was a concept. So, it was a concept that you had, which you wanted to develop, but then frustratingly so at the time you couldn't. But then suddenly decided you're going to go for the plunge anyway, in simple terms.
Yeah, and they said to me, look, we want you to do this for us at the same time, is find technology companies from around the world.
Okay.
So I did, and I've been doing that for 15 years. And I think that was a significant part of getting the honor, because what I've been doing is bringing tech companies from India, China, Southeast Asia, and then doing the deal. So the official title that I have within government is deal maker, would you believe? And my government business card, I don't have one in front of me, actually says deal maker on it, which sort of makes me sound, I guess, a little bit like Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses.
It's a great conversation starter.
Deals together. Yeah. And these companies help solve some of the world's biggest problems. So we've got clean tech companies I've brought to the UK. There are cybersecurity companies, blockchain companies, so you can be assured that the clothes you're wearing are not from, say, slave labor, for instance. Like I said, clean tech companies, which make sure that they clean the air around you so you're not breathing in COVID.
Interesting enough, you say different countries, Alpesh. What particular countries were you dealing with? And when you first started this concept, did you have a particular country in mind, say, I want to go to this country and that's what I'm going to target first?
Well, the government came to me and they said, we want to launch this and we want to start it with India. So it started off with India, and then the minister at the time said, look, we want you to do this with China. And then they expanded the role to Malaysia, Singapore, and now I cover Turkey and some of the Middle East as well.
Splendid.
So,
Were there any barriers or restrictions that you faced at the time when the concept came about?
No, perversely, I mean, you might think being Indian and going into China might have been an issue. There once was, but before this role, where I was asked to represent the United Kingdom by the Foreign Office, and there was a meeting which was being hosted in as it happens, on 9/11 in Beijing. Mm. And somebody somewhere from the other side had raised the issue, not from the Chinese, I should say, that he's Indian. Will the Chinese object? And I'm really proud of our Foreign Office. They said, well, his British citizen is representing us and they can stop it, basically. So that's the only time I've ever had a sort of a hurdle. Mm. I have to say the Indian side totally welcomed me in this role. The High Commissioner reached out.
Yes.
I had a meeting at his residence with, well, now the man who is the Chancellor's father-in-law.
I would say you're probably in the right place at the right time. In a moment, I'm going to be asking you about stock trading. Can anyone be a stock trader? In the meantime, if you have just joined us, thank you for joining us as we bring you a very special event on the 26th and 27th of March, which we're going to be telling you about very soon. We're going to continue talking with Alpesh in just a moment.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
Find out more about the Great Big Indian Money Show under the events section of iGlobalNews.com.
So here we are then, and you've been dealing in the money markets for a long time, and if I may just abbreviate that in a way that you've become quite an expert in the business. But the first thing I wanted to ask you is that, can a novice person who might have the odd spare bob or two to spend, or the odd rupee to spend, or the odd pound to spend, can anyone become a stock trader? And if so, what is the basic investment knack that's required in order to be a stock trader?
Well, Tony, I borrowed £100 from my aunt when I was 12 years old because yeah. I felt really guilty that my family was working so hard and I was not able to contribute. And obviously, 12 years old was a bit young. Mm. And I invested in my first stock investment back then. And I was lucky because in the 80s, there was privatizations and they were basically a blank check to make money. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will... there'll be 50% who'll throw up saying, "You nasty little Tory," and there'll be 50% going,
"Well, you took the words out of my mouth," because those are the times of Thatcher's government and industries were being closed down.
Yeah, I mean, for me at 12, I guess I was a little bit political. I went on to read politics at university, but you know, I was a beneficiary of all of that. And but I was equally well aware, not having grown up with a silver spoon in my mouth, that I wanted to share that knowledge. So to answer your question, I launched a campaign this year called campaignforamillion.com. And it is to teach a million people how to invest. And I say invest, not trade. Trading is riskier. If you look at any UK broker, 75% of people trading, which is holding stocks in and out for a day, 2 or 3 days, 75% lose money doing that.
Okay,
you might say, well, Alpesh, wait a minute, 25% are making money? Tell me more about this.
Yeah.
But investing, where I'm looking at teaching people to hold things for 12 months, which might be for, in my case, my SIP, my son's ISA, my son's pension. And so I educate them on what I'm doing, how it's done, use all my expertise. You can probably see over my shoulder, there's a lot of books. 18 of those books are mine, published by the Financial Times and the like. It's not a plug for my books. Nobody reads books anymore. We've moved on. And those books are out of date. But I converted all of those into video courses for free for people to be able to learn. So my answer to that question is, my God, if they can't, then I'm really rubbish at teaching. And I don't think I'm rubbish at teaching because I've had my column in the Financial Times teaching people how to invest. I've had my TV show on Bloomberg on teaching people how to invest. So I think I can teach anyone to invest. And I turned my secretary into a $10 billion managing fund manager. When
good
she
grief.
Joined me, she was left university. She yes. worked with me as my assistant for 3 years. Now she manages $10 billion. So I think I can turn anybody into a fund manager, but a lot less than that, managing their own
So moving on then, what are your three tips for completing a trade novice, as it were? I mean, you've got to have tips, right? And you've got to have formulas, if I may use that word.
The approach I would say, now I could do the Bill Clinton thing and say education are my three. But the first thing is you want to work out your timeline. Now, I have three numbers I tell people to remember: 12, 15, and 25. 12 is 12-month holding period.
Yep.
I can show you the research on it, but it's on my website anyway, which from Goldman Sachs shows 12 months is a good holding period. Longer than that, and you're holding on too long without taking in new information for an investment purpose. 12 months, 15 stocks. And people say, is that too few? Is that too many? Actually, again, research shows after you've got about 15, even if they're in the same sector, you're fairly well diversified. Okay, so it's all your eggs aren't in one basket.
Is it secure?
And you wouldn't put them all in the same sector anyway.
But is it secure?
15. So yeah, 15 stocks. So and you'd use a broker like a Barclays stockbrokers or a Halifax stockbroker. So it's secure then. And you want to pick from a universe of US and UK stocks. Now people say, well, wait a minute, US, what about currency risk? Well, let me put it this way. So my Apple stock is up 100%. Am I really worried about a 1% currency risk either way? Really? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who don't also realize that those American stocks can go in their ISA and in their SIP. And the reason I want to look at a global market is this: the FTSE 100, the 100 largest UK companies, an index that measures that, is still at the same level it was in 1999. When I wrote in my very first Financial Times column, I'm moving my pension to a global basket of stocks, including predominantly US.
Yes.
So I've been saying this for 21 years. And if any stock you pick drops 25% from the highest it's been, so let's say it doubles and it drops 25% within those 12 months, you sell it. If it doesn't, you're still holding it to the end of the 12 months. Simple. And keeping it simple is key. The third, well, final thing, if I may say so, would be pick those companies not on news. Don't gamble on the news or the fad or whatever. You want to make sure, and this is where education comes in, I'm afraid, is you want to make sure they're well valued. How do you do that? Well, I teach that, but for free as part of my campaign. Revenue growth, sales growth, strong cash flow. Everybody can understand that. Your audience is going to be Indian. They're probably all business people. They all understand cash flow.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Dividend paying, because research shows dividend paying companies tend to do better than non. So we want to make sure they've got all of these boxes ticked, plus a few others ticked. And the reason for that is it'll give us resilient companies, companies which, if the market falls, won't fall as far. And if the market rises, will rise more. And it's that kind of formula which gives me actually sometimes boring companies like PayPal. Does incredibly well on the upside. If the market falls, yes, of course it falls. Even Microsoft falls when the market falls. So be aware of risk of investing. But PayPal's in my pension because it's resilient. It fell when the market fell, but it rebounded quicker. And that's stock market risk and reward. Everything falls when the markets are down. Yes, there's a risk, but we want the companies which don't fall as far and rebound more. And the best way to find that is valuation, growth, dividends and cash flow are the key factors, and make sure they tick all those boxes. But that does require a little bit of education to do that. But there's free tools on places like I said, Yahoo Finance has it, and my website has the education on it for free as well. Because
we're going to be talking about lockdown in just a little while, and I'm joined here today by a very, very learned and expert in the business, Mr. Alpesh Patel. We're going to be talking about lockdown, and we're going to be talking about the thrilling aspects of dealing in stocks, and perhaps some of the things and experiences that Alpesh has been through during his time. So do stay with us.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
The Great Big Indian Money Show. Brought to you by iGlobal on March the 26th and 27th.
So we're in a period of lockdown. Coronavirus has had a real impact on the economy. We've seen companies close down, we've seen companies grow, and we've seen, I would say, perhaps a buoyant economy to last us through this awful period that we've had. So what is this current lockdown situation doing to the economy? Is it perhaps a good reason for the uninitiated to explore this world of stock markets, investments, and let's just put it this way, making money, Alpesh?
Yes and no, the bottom line. And the no part is this: there's a lot of people who are gambling and speculating because they're seeing things like Bitcoin rocket up or Tesla. The point is that if you go into this without knowing what you're doing, or most importantly, if you do it without using only risk capital, which is capital which were you to lose wouldn't affect your lifestyle, then you're going in blind, and we don't want to go in blind. So let's say somebody says, oh, I saw on the internet that this company's shot up, I think I'll buy some. Well, that's gambling.
Right.
Because you've done no research on it. You don't know anything about it. So we don't want to do that. What we do want to do, however, and what I've seen a flood of people approach me on is, Alpesh, this has given me a time at home to actually sort out my finances, and I need education on investing. Well, Alpesh, how come we're not getting the benefit of that? And then I look at what they're doing and I say, well, you know, your fund manager's just invested in British American Tobacco and British Petroleum. And they're saying, well, wait a minute, what about technology? I said, well, he's not investing in it. That's his problem. And now it's become your problem. So what I teach them is how to find out the data so they can say, well, actually, yeah, I do want to buy some. I'm not, it's not a stock pick, but, you know, I happen to own Amazon, Apple, Alphabet, Facebook, Microsoft. Some people might go, no. I you know, don't want any of those. PayPal, Visa, MasterCard. And that's for my son, okay, for his junior ISA and SIP. So I think it has been an opportunity for people to sort out their finances and for their children to start saving, because once it starts growing, you know, you and I know time just flies like this. And before you know it, 10 years have gone, 15 years have gone. And in 15 years, you think to yourself, oh, I wish I'd started 15 years ago. And that's the point of it. And it doesn't actually take much education. The problem is people end up just scouring the internet and they're gambling, or they just look at news stories which journalists are writing to get headlines.
But you brought music to my ears almost, because you mentioned about getting young people involved. In this country, we had what we had, the first generation, second generation, third generation in the UK. First generations are those who arrived here in the 50s and 60s and brought families with them. They've kind of like moved on or sadly passed on, and they're not consuming media and other things in the same way. And what they used to do is simply just buy a property, pass the property on to their sons and daughters. Similarly, the second generation have done similarly and done very well, but they're not consuming media and other things in the way that the first generation used to. But at the same time, there's a lot more available to them. Now, what I'm leading up to is that from the second generation to the third generation, now we're getting to the youngsters. And traditionally the case, and you would know this only too well, where our fathers and forefathers would come here, buy property, pass it on to us, we would buy that property, invest in another property, and try and build up a property portfolio. Now you're talking about investments, you're talking about getting into a slightly different market.
I think if you can master property, and I'm no property expert, you can certainly master stock investments. The great thing about stock investments
is...
press a button on your keyboard, you're out. There's no estate agents needed. There's no stamp duty, all the rest of it, sort of the high levels that you end up paying on all of that. You can avoid all of those extra costs depending on how you invest. I'm seeing more people from our community saying, yeah, I think I need to do this because it gives me liquidity still. I'm not locked in. And we've seen actually the way my parents could be socially mobile thanks to property, that's gone. Social mobility through property investments from, you know, unless you're in a niche, very expert area, in property, the complaint I hear from people is saying, I can't do what I was able to do before.
Times are changing very fast.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing more people saying, well, actually, if I can get, like I said, from a PayPal or whatever, a 30% return, why the heck do I want a 5% yield on a property? Now, don't get me wrong. And on the whole, over a long enough period of time, property always rises, of course, if you take a long enough horizon. Actually, so does stock investments.
Okay, well, we're almost coming to the conclusion, but I'm going to come back to you, slightly different scenario.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
The Great Big Indian Money Show under the event section of iGlobalNews.com. Log on to iGlobalNews.com for more information.
And so, Alpesh, as we conclude today, one of the questions I wanted to ask you was that what's the funniest question you've ever been asked about the stock market, and anything unusual that you'd like to share with us today as we conclude our podcast?
You can imagine, well, when I was doing my show on Bloomberg TV, you'd get viewer call-ins, and I guess the most curious thing that happened, they ran a competition to see who'd be the best stock picker. So they ran this competition with 40 specialists and analysts, and I was one of them. And they said to me, you know, what do you want to pick? And so I picked some small Scottish company, but I sort of knew that if you're on media and you pick a small company,
yes,
it's more likely to go up. I won the competition off the back of that alone. I think I made that Scottish company's shareholders, well, certainly the founders, probably millionaires, not a shareholder in that company. There was no sort of collusion or anything like that.
You were simply the go-between.
Probably the funniest, oddest, weirdest thing that had happened in the markets, based on, like I say, a stock market competition, which is an odd scenario anyway. My proudest was when, again, another competition, the Financial Times, over a 12-month period, I forecast the FTSE and won, and I beat, and get this, I beat the editor's cat. They put numbers on the floor, and the cat had to pick a number. And I not just beat the cat, I remember the cat's name.
Yes.
Not only did I come number one, but I also beat a chap called Neil Woodford, who went on to raise £10 billion and currently is apologizing to all his investors. And sometimes joke with people, I say, how come I didn't get the $10 billion to invest? In the city, it's still who you know, not what you know. I knew more than him, still do, and proved it, who you know, sadly. So,
wow, what an incredible scenario. So what's the call to action if people want to get in touch with you, see you, and consume your very product?
Yeah, well, I've even launched a free work experience remote internship for people who are young. And I tell you what, on TikTok, I've got 10,000 followers, 1,000 a day for the last 10 days. Joining up on that. The website's campaignforamillion.com. You'll find my free education. You'll be able to download a free copy of my international best-selling book on investing as well. Campaignforamillion.com, and you'll find all the tools there.
Campaignforamillion.com.
Campaignforamillion.com.
I wish you well, and we look forward to having your company with us on the 26th and 27th of March for the great big Indian Money Show as well. So thank you, Rajshree, for joining us. It's been a pleasure and privilege talking with you today, and thank you for sharing your valuable time with us as well.
Thank you so much. I loved it. Loved it.
Thank you for listening to the iMoney Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.